So how was your time in the Word this week? Good? Good? I've seen a few nods. Okay. So you're going to see an extra face up here, and that's Bonnie. I've asked her to write on the board for us so that we get everything that's being said about our Martha and the principal that we're going to talk about. But let me just open in prayer. And I'll give time for Becca to get seated, and we'll be good. Father, we just praise you and thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a beautiful day, another day to honor you and glorify you. Father, thank you for your precious word. Lord, just thank you so much for it, that we might know you and grow in an understanding and love for you. And Lord, I just pray as we look to your word, that we would be able to draw out the truth, the facts, those things that are important, that you would have us to glean from these passages of Scripture. Lord, thank you so much that you give us the Holy Spirit that guides us, directs us, teaches us. Lord, quiet our hearts now. I know that many of us, there are concerns and things that might be weighing on our hearts, and I just pray that you would afford us this time of just being able to focus on your word and what you'd have for each one of us this morning. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, did anybody find some new facts about Martha that maybe you hadn't seen before? I hope as you went through that maybe there were some new things you hadn't seen. We'll kind of talk through that. I want to start with Luke 10. So we need to, as we continue to look at the women of the Bible and glean facts from God's word about it, we need to remember that God has each one of these women in the Bible narrative for good reason. And so as we look at Martha this morning, let's continue to keep that in mind. We know there are three situations where we find Martha. One is the dinner, the visit of Jesus and his disciples and entourage. The funeral or the death of Lazarus, and then another dinner that we find that's being put on in his honor. So we'll look at each one of those this morning. So let me start with Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away." And then I want to look at John, too, so that's fresh in our mind as well. I'm sure that most of you read the whole entire chapter. That's great. So we look at the context of this as being the fact that Lazarus was sick, and then he dies before Jesus gets there. And obviously, he purposes that at day four, he's going to come into the scene, but Lazarus is clearly dead. So now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So you see the interaction that he has with the disciples. And then in verse 17, so when Jesus came to Bethany, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And when she said this, she went away and called her sister Mary. So now, in verse 30, now Jesus had not come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. So there's this ongoing discussion about Lazarus and his death. And so then he's like, okay, I want to remove the stone. And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Then he calls Lazarus forth. And in verse 44, the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And then we see the third account in John 12, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they had him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. So there's a lot there. What were some of the things, if you look at one of the first questions we had on our lesson. So first off, what were some of the first impressions of Martha? Just right off the bat as you were reading through those three passages.
Yeah, she's a hard worker.
She's a hard worker? Yeah.
Self-absorbed in meeting the needs of their guests.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She was a good hostess.
She worked hard. Okay.
I don't think she sits still. She's always jumping up to make sure he meets up. You know, so she's always climbing it. And even like when she went to see Jesus, nobody noticed that she jumped up and left because she was always jumping up. When Mary moved, they followed her. But when Martha got up, she's just always getting up. Like she just comes, oh, wait, you need.
Okay. Anything else that was obvious just as a precursory as you read through those three passages?
She believed in Jesus as the Christ.
Okay.
She set her needs aside in order to make others feel cared for. And I felt she was very realistic. She told Jesus she knew if he'd been there, it wouldn't have happened, but she didn't like rail at him. She just said it was more factual.
Okay.
So the death was part of life.
What was interesting was she was almost looking for him. I mean, watching out for him.
Because she'd sent word, right? They'd sent word, and yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she was the first one to go to him, so.
Yeah, right. So, Bonnie, do you want to?
You tell me what to write. I'll write.
Okay, so some of the things I heard and what we can get out of Luke in particular with this first account was that she was serving. What's interesting in verse 38 says that, and again we'll get to these a few more questions, but that she welcomed Jesus, and that term implies that she not only was having him come in for a meal, but that, would, that word encompasses the providing for what they might have needed at that time.
Well, usually when people come into a house, the stays the most are always well.
Yes. True. Yeah.
And it says it was her house. It doesn't say it was their house. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. So that, again, is another, it was her house. Yeah. Yeah, into her home. Verse 38. That's verse 38, too. Good. Excellent. Okay.
There's a word here.
Yeah, we're going to get to that, aren't we? Uh-huh. Okay. So, day two and day three, number three. Tell me about Martha's family and her relationship with them.
She was sister of Lazarus and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was assumed in different areas that she was oldest. Some say took Martha's name before Lazarus and Mary, that makes her the elder.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we don't have the specifics as far as what her age was. We know also, too, as we look at Scripture, the things that aren't mentioned. Husband's not mentioned. Children aren't mentioned. So those things aren't in this picture.
I think she's like the head of the household in the family. It's her home, and she cared for Lazarus and Mary. She was the one that took care of, it seemed like she was the one that took care of them.
Because yeah.
When people come over, she's the one that prepares.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, at least in this one account, we can say that that is true, right? That she's up and she's serving. Okay.
She seems like the leader because she's telling Mary what to do.
Well, or so she's taking the lead to, in that, you know, right?
She's a little bossy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, because it was her home, and Mary and Lazarus was living with her.
True, but we don't. I bet we don't know the whole picture of that because it's not given to us.
Right.
You know, was it Lazarus' home, and he was too young to have the. You know, there's some ideal circumstances that occur when women can own their own home. So it could. A lot of conjecture there. So, I mean, again, going back to what we know is what is stated here is that Martha welcomes Jesus into her home. She has a sister, Mary, and she has a brother, Lazarus. And we talked about Martha's name always being mentioned, almost always being mentioned first, right? That was the premise. Not always is her name mentioned first. But that seemed to indicate, when you look at other places in Scripture, that that is the more prominent one or the one that is older than the rest in the list. So, but again, we don't know exactly. So, what did you learn? What were some specific things about her economic status?
Well, she was a prostitute. She paid for
was. Yeah, I don't remember seeing that in my translation anyway. I mean, certainly with her welcoming somebody into her home, she had to have had known that there were resources to feed the entourage, to provide the needs that they had. So that would be one thing we can infer from what Scripture says.
Yeah, she had a large dinner out at home. Yeah. But especially mentioned in John. I don't know if that means she paid for it all, but as you say, it was her home and
right.
She was hosting it.
Right, yeah. And obviously preparing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the other things that you may or may not have picked up on is the fact that they were able to afford a place for Lazarus to be buried. Mm-hmm. So there's that the cost of that would have been fairly high. And we also know that they were well respected in the community, and the fact that when Lazarus dies, there's all these Jews that come to comfort them. Yeah, yeah.
I looked up the name Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Martha, in Greek is Martha, Aramaic is Marta, which means the mistress or the lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like the lady of the house.
Mistress of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by her name, yes. So on D, on let's see, what page are we on? Page one, D. So what were some of the positive things you noticed about Martha?
Hospitable.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Practical.
Caring.
Devoted.
Generous.
Joyce.
She loved Jesus.
She loved Jesus.
And she believed that he was the Son of God.
Right.
She had great faith.
Yeah, faithful.
Right. Right. Beth.
She called for Jesus when she was in trouble.
Yes, and you see that consistently, right, where she goes and calls upon Jesus.
Looks like saving faith as well.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
I also think it's inferred that she felt very comfortable with Jesus if she would go up to him and say, she's not helping.
Yeah. Well, and he's teaching. He's talking. So, yes, there had to have been that level of intimacy between them. Yeah. Yes.
That's
Yeah.
Well, I felt, I mean, this isn't spelled out in Scripture, but to me, because it didn't say that she, like, said anything after that, and you don't see that come up again, that she had a teachable spirit when he did speak the truth and loved her.
Well, and I think that's the beautiful part of seeing her mentioned in the John 12 passage where it just says she's serving.
Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing else. It's like she's serving. It's like so the attack wasn't there was no attack, but he didn't go after the serving part. It was her heart, right? It always comes about to our hearts.
But they felt comfortable enough with each other that she could be bold like that and say what was on her mind. And how I love how he gently corrected her.
Right, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good reminder for me.
Yeah.
You don't have on the board, though, that I know everybody said it, but you don't have on the board she's a believer of Christ.
Well, they loved
Jesus.
Believing he was the Son of God. Yeah, 11:27. Yeah, so some of the ones that we've put through here already are verse specific, and then obviously there's a few that we've inferred by what we're seeing her do. Any other thoughts about some of the positive things you noticed about her?
Organized.
Organized?
And industrious.
Well, yeah.
She was always working, making sure things were right and
ready. Right.
Always busy, yeah.
So what on the other side of that, I mean, we talk about the positive things, but what were some of the things that Jesus pointed out that needed to change?
Her priorities were in the wrong place.
Okay.
You know, she preferred to take care of the house and food and everything instead of listening to the Lord speaking.
Yeah.
And the Lord speaks to you, listen.
Yeah, yeah.
She worried about what other people were doing, you know, like, you know, maybe she wanted Mary to help her. You know, she was concerned about what other people were doing in their life and not just her own. You know,
well, because the focus, right? The focus is, wait a minute, I'm doing all this stuff and I got to get the napkins out and I've got to get the lamb all prepared and I've got to do this. Well, wait a minute, there's Mary.
Yeah.
And of course, her validating, you know, in her self-righteousness, I have this, I need some help. I'm all alone here. I'm, you know, woe is me. But it's she's pointing the finger at Mary and wrong assumptions there as we find out, right?
Well, Mary was also the only, she's the only other woman mentioned. So Mary's the only one Martha would turn to for help.
Yeah, in the household, yeah.
I kind of get the idea she's kind of the mama to the family. She's, apparently the parents are gone, and she may have raised the other two for a while, inferring that.
Yeah.
But just that idea of Mary should be helping me, tell her to help me. I don't know why she went there instead of, hey, Mary, can you help me?
Yeah, because she even depersonalizes it. Because she said, well, my sister, not you know, my sister. Well, okay, Mary's right there. Well, right, and let's talk about that. So in 4, Luke 10, 40, it says that Martha was distracted. So what does distracted mean? What does that look like? Sure, all of us.
Both are occupied.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I do multitask.
Multitask?
No, you say that like it's a man.
Well, and see, multitasking, again, all of this, we look at all three definitions, it goes to the state of her heart, right? I mean, I think, you know, the misnomer that us women can do so many things at one time is not true. Studies have showed that is not true. But in any event, that wasn't the focus here, right? That she was, the state of mind she was in is that she was... I think one definition said diverted from its object. Yeah. Wasn't that a great definition? Yeah, because that's what it is that she's focused on her preparation, she's focused on what everybody else is, what Mary's doing, well, Mary's not helping me, and so the focus was off of Jesus.
Well, we have to assume too, though, that Jesus' disciples were with him.
Right.
So, you know, with all the people in her house, it's probably, you know, she's trying to serve them all, not really paying attention to what Jesus is teaching them.
Yeah.
I was also tempted to put down where it said divine distracted, put down me.
Yeah. I think all of us can relate to this example, right? Yeah. I'd like to know, is there anybody here that doesn't relate to that example? I want to hang around with you a little more. Okay, so what was she distracted by? We've talked a little bit about that.
All her preparation.
Yeah.
Wanting everything to be perfect for her guests.
Mm-hmm.
By outward things.
What's that?
By outward things.
By outward things. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good observation. So, she definitely, in her discussion or what happens next, communicates where her mind was, right? Mm-hmm. She's, do you not care? Well, that's a disbelief. She's saying this to Jesus, do you not care? And then Martha defends her place. Well, my sister's left me to serve all alone. And then we already talked about my sister, rather than Mary, or even talking to Mary specifically. And then demanding that Jesus tell her to help her. And then Martha attempts to control the situation by just adding, well, and I'm alone in this.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I'm alone in this. So.
You know, it's something that, it just came to mind, that the way she spoke with Jesus, kind of one-on-one, she didn't, even though he's the Lord and she's a believer, she didn't really seem to put him on a pedestal. I mean, she just came out and said things and whatever.
I think part of that speaks to her personality, right. The difference between her and Mary, too, okay. And their personalities. Mm-hmm. But definitely there was a relationship there between them where she felt like she could do that. And mm-hmm. and we're clear in the fact we don't see him reprimanding her for those, her approach mm-hmm. to him. What was her overall attitude?
Well, it was me. She's frustrated and offended.
Yeah. Worried, upset.
Mm-hmm.
She really is like the Proverbs 31 woman. And the only problem she had, I think like most people, was she didn't recognize the bridegroom was there. I think that was just the thing that people couldn't wrap their heads around. He's here. Messiah is here. And so I think that whole lack of recognition is what led to, you know, complaining about seeing. But Mary got it, and that's why she was at his feet. And Martha was getting there, but she just hadn't got it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
because there were a group of mourners beyond the disciples.
Yeah, right. When we shift into John 11, absolutely, there were quite a few people there.
The mourners were men and women. We don't know. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know during that time frame, people would pay to bring mourners in, but it doesn't stipulate that that's the case here either.
No.
So I don't know whether they would be mixed, male or female or not.
I think in verse 40, she says, when she asks, do you not care? And then before he could even speak, really, it says, then tell her to help me. And I just think of sometimes when we're not slow to speak and when we are in that frantic state, kind of that we're asking a question, do you not care? And then, well, then tell her to. It just kind of shows.
It just kind of comes out like a.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
She probably thought Jesus had more authority if Jesus told Mary to go out and help me. She would listen more to Jesus than she would to Martha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, potentially.
She already was.
Yeah.
I think she wanted to, she may not have realized it because she wasn't in full revelation of herself, her own heart yet. But she, when I went deeper into anxious and bothered and mm-hmm. strong, said to disunite and divide. Mm-hmm. So I think her, she might not have known it, but she was trying to put that same spirit on her sister that she had on her distraction. So yeah. She wanted to stop the fellowship by causing mm-hmm. disturbance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We might get to this later in the church.
We might.
I'm just thinking about with all these, you know, we're kind of trying, reading into how Martha might have felt and how she's
right, we
trying to do this or that to Mary. I think it's also possible that, you know, because Jesus focuses on her heart attitude and how that was different from Mary's. And for people who are really show their love by serving, she may have just thought, this is how I know how to show my love. This is what I have to do, and I'm going to do my very, very best. Bring out all this, you know, do
right,
everything
right.
that I know how to do to make this the best thing, and that's going to take all my time and effort. And man, Mary better help me because this is how I'm going to show love for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And she had forgotten, and I think we can tend to do this too in our serving, that if we don't have, it all has to come out of that time with the Lord. And so she was putting that aside. I'm not going to be able to spend time with him because I'm doing all this for him. And I think that might be kind of where her.
And then the snowball, I mean, the, you know, yeah. one thing big on another thing right. to where now she's in this state of being, you know, worried and bothered and distracted right. and her focus is off of.
Because of that priority. That.
Could she yeah. be jealous, Mary?
Well, again, let's go back to what we know is true, because I think there's a lot of things we've said this morning that are maybe inferred, some things we don't really know, but the thing I want us to get in the habit of looking at is what the scripture says, what are the facts, because I'm sure if you picked up any reference, and I've said this before, any reference that's been written about women in the Bible, there's a lot of literary freedom that they've taken, you know, that aren't necessarily true statements or that you can't support those things. So I think as we're learning to look at scripture and we're looking at what's what does scripture say? Those are the important things that we need to walk away from.
I also thought too, because she's grieving, sometimes we try to hide our emotions or bury their emotions, and so she's busy because it keeps her distracted and away from feeling that loss of her brother.
Yeah.
So she's.
But I thought that he died after that.
Right. Because we have the time frame is we have she's welcomed him into with the entourage, whatever that dinner, whatever that looked like, and then we have the John's account of Lazarus dying, him coming, raising Lazarus from the dead, and then the final mention of her in John 12, where she's serving, and that's all we. And then that's the last thing is we see her serving the Messiah. There's no mention of her by name after that.
Yeah, we have to realize too, though, when she served the thirsty, she was serving at the leper Simon's house. Mm-hmm. She wasn't in her house.
Yeah, she was serving. Yeah, we know that. Yeah, she was serving. Yeah. Okay. So what was Martha requesting Jesus to do here in, we're back in Luke 10.
Right.
Okay.
I'm surprised she didn't ask Mary herself to get up and help her.
It's possible she already had and Mary didn't listen.
Potentially, we don't know, right? We don't know. But the fact that she goes to him, you know, instead of there were other scenarios that could have been recorded about how that all went. But yeah, she goes to the one that she feels can make Mary do. But as we see, that isn't how Jesus responded. What were Martha's priorities and what did she feel was necessary to do here? We've talked about this a little bit already. What's that?
It just says many things.
Yeah, many things. Yep. Yeah.
But she was the hostess and wanted to serve her guests well.
Yeah, in how she defines it, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
She was perfectionist. Mm.
Deb, did you say something?
She had a plan.
She had a plan, yeah. Yes.
Maybe I look at her wrong, but I kind of put down, her priority was mostly like earthly preparations and stuff instead of spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it because we have to remember that it would take all day to prepare a meal, and especially meal, they didn't have DoorDash back
then. Right.
And so she felt she was there all alone, and to prepare a meal for a lot of people all alone, you know, you would get so distracted and taken up by all the issues that need to be done for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, start off with skinning the lamb.
Yeah. Or she could have done, as we said, flatbread. I've had some pretty good flatbread with goat cheese. And I mean, you know, the simple things. But yeah, she definitely had a plan of what that was to look like in her own mind. And obviously that got her totally off track and distracted.
How much time did she actually have to plan? Didn't they just show up at her?
Well, what we know is it says he encountered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home.
Yeah.
So that's what we know. So
I don't know how much time she even had to plan this meal.
No, it would have been he came to the door, yeah. Right? Because he entered a village.
Yeah.
So it's like we happened upon this village. It happened to be Bethany and...
Did
you
have
phones
to say
no.
I'm coming?
Right.
Yeah. Well, he might have been familiar with Martha too, though. He might have visited him a number of times. So.
Well, we don't know because this is the first mention of Mary and Martha.
Yeah, she was comfortable with him, you know, and you know, having a stranger to your house, you know, she had to know who Jesus was.
Yeah.
And she had to know him.
Yeah. And how much of that knowledge she had at that point, we don't know for certain. We learn more about that in John. So how did Jesus respond? Let's see, that's G on your... How did Jesus respond?
I love this part because we actually get to listen to Jesus.
Yes.
And talk to Martha. And there's not, you know, usually he's talking to a crowd or whatever, but to hear, you know, we can picture in our head how he's talking to her. Martha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah. So what were the specific things? How did
I felt like, and I'm not sure if the word I used is the right word, but he chided her for her distraction and worry, and then he praised Mary for what she was doing.
Well, so let's look at the verse together again. Yeah. So in 41 it says, but the Lord answered. So she is, you know, kind of spilled her guts about how she's feeling about this. And please tell Mary to help me. And then the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. So, you know, there's only a few handful of times in Scripture where we see names repeated. And in each instance, it's God communicating, Jesus communicating with that individual.
So he was refocusing.
Well, and in compassion, I just think it's like, you know, I've been in those states too where you're so distracted, and yet it's like, do you know what? In compassion, he's trying to refocus her. Right, refocusing her on why she's doing what she's doing in the first place. Where does her heart need to be? Where does her attention need to be? And so I think that that's beautiful that he acknowledges those things, the worry and the bother, and those are not the things, and let's have her reconsider, you know, whether what comes out of that, distraction, worry, being bothered.
The King James says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.
Mm.
But one thing is needful.
Right.
And Mary had chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we talked about Mary, we kind of looked at that. It's hard to look at them without looking at them together, right? Because they're together in each one of these occurrences.
Yeah, there's something wrong with Martha caring for others and providing food and all that stuff, but there's also a time that you need to have communion with God, like Mary's having.
Well, and like Becca mentioned, I think it's important. It's like you're, when you are worshiping the Lord and you're spending time with Him, your right heart for service flows out of that. And so the service wasn't the issue, it was her heart and attitude that was the issue.
Thing, no, she just was actually doing her duty as a hostess.
True.
She was expected to be serving, she was the hostess. Mm-hmm. But she just lost track of who was there and why she was serving.
Well, yeah, just the spiritual part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's look at modern times. We have guests over for a dinner, you know. And yes, I'll sit down, and we're just so busy in the kitchen serving the food, we don't even sit down with them. And that's like Martha. Because we don't sit down with our guests, which would be Jesus, and, you know.
Well, and this is like bigger, because this is a bigger thing than even that.
Yeah.
Because it's here's Martha, she's busy, she's right. Distracted, and Jesus is sitting right there, and Mary's sitting at his feet.
Right.
Listening to all of that, and but it's her spiritual food. Mary was getting the spiritual food, and then out of that, then we see Mary, as we did a couple weeks ago, of she had her own point of serving when she anointed Jesus. So, Patty,
because we who believe have the Holy Spirit in us now, all the more we can serve and worship at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
Separate at that point when
Yeah.
Did sin. Because who knows, you know, could she, her heart could have been right earlier.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it would have been right after,
right.
after that gentle correction.
Yeah.
We are so privileged to have the Holy Spirit in our lives so we can urgently serve simultaneously.
Yeah.
When you said that you're worried and bothered, mm-hmm. but, and you know, worried is like she's anxious, mm-hmm. so it just shows where her heart was, that she mm-hmm. was so anxious about everything getting done, and it's like, you know, I can imagine in my weird cartoon head, like, Jesus, could you please, I'm sweeping, could you pick your feet up, and just, you know, missing the whole point. So he was calling her out on, you know, not in a nice way. Her anxiety is making her lose, is poisoning her heart, really.
Yeah.
What the whole thing is about, the big picture.
She's right.
She's so focused on the little picture that she missed the big picture.
Yeah.
Which we can all do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that it's beautiful because, I mean, in my notes in my John MacArthur study paper, I think he showed me some part of why, because he said that Martha was evidently fussing about the details that were unnecessarily elaborate. And I think it speaks to the fact that she was close to the temple. She was, you know, she was prominent, right? Or well-to-do because the Jews all came to her house. And so she was used to doing things that were unnecessarily elaborate, like in those times of the Jews. And so she, the unnecessary things that didn't need to be done, I guess.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, it certainly is like Deb said, she had a plan that she was laying out, and she was going to do that, whether she was putting all this responsibility on her for it had to be a certain way, without the heart part of that, of why she was doing, or who she was even preparing for. So I think there's a secondary inference in that, in the fact that, yes, when we entertain and bring people into our home, and it's not entertainment, it's hospitality, is that the relationship is way more important than what you're preparing and putting on the table. So from that perspective, it's like, yes, we can get so caught up in the house being, I'd worry myself sick. I'd literally be sick, but I'd have people over. Over time, I've grown and worked through that. And it was like stuff that was just silly and that made no difference. And then by the time your company comes, you're so exhausted. How can you really show hospitality, and how can you really invest in that relationship? So there is a secondary application to that for sure. Okay, where are we? So we've talked a little bit about what she had failed to do, right? And worried, how did you define worried? I on your page 22.
Anxious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A divided mind.
Mm-hmm. One fellow who has several books on just word studies use the definition of to go to pieces. You feel it's being so frazzled. You know, you can kind of see that picture in your mind, right? Of just going to pieces. Yeah. How about being bothered? What is bothered?
Troubled or distracted.
Okay.
To make a dude.
Annoyed?
Mm-hmm. Troubled.
Okay, trouble. Yeah, one place was agitation of the mind. So I think all three of those words of being distracted, worried, and bothered show us that there was that lack of focus on the good thing that Mary was focusing on.
Somebody used the term divided, and that's kind of what the words are. Anxious or worried denotes mm-hmm. inward uneasiness.
Mm-hmm.
And bothered or troubled denotes outward confusion and muscle. Mm-hmm. So you're divided by what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, then you affect everybody else around you, or try to, right? Because that's what I see in this. You've got the inner turmoil, and then it's coming out, and then now you're exposing everybody else to that as well. And Mary was the brunt of that in this account.
Well, I think a bother I came up with here, looking at all this greatly disturbed.
Yeah.
Which brings it up a lot.
Yeah, well, sure, yeah. Yeah. So what does Jesus' response to Martha's request reveal about her priorities? And we talked about this already a little bit, too. What's that?
Out of order.
Out of order? Uh-huh. Yeah.
That the good right. work she was doing was not the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prioritizing service over worship.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, she was consumed with all the preparations and lost the heart by which she was to serve, or that focus.
She missed what was right in front of her eyes, as many Jews did.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So in John, although I didn't, we didn't look specifically at questions with regard to John, but I feel like as you, hopefully that you took the time to read John, were there some things that came out in John 11 that helped us see who Martha is, was? Yeah.
So in John 11, 44, that's where it describes Lazarus. So that in my eye, that King James, or the New King James Version, is, and he who had died came out, describing Lazarus, down hand and foot. But in the Greek, it's came forth the one having been dead. So it, and so they have the verb came forth, and it has hal, which is the noun, masculine, singular, definite article. So that means the, basically. So what comes next usually is a noun, but in this case, it's a verb, but a very descriptive verb that's actually a noun. The one having been dead. It doesn't even say he died.
Yeah.
It's like you're describing your cat. Well, he was black. The one having been dead, but now isn't. So the verb to die isn't even there. And that to me shows how God sees us. It's like, however we happen to be, whether grumpy or sad, it's like he sees us as having been that way. But when we get closer to him, we're not that way anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's amazing. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else in chapter 11 of John that maybe we haven't mentioned yet?
I have to realize, too, on verse 3 that Jesus was very well acquainted with Lazarus, because he says,
yes,
thou lovest the
mm-hmm. sick. Mm-hmm.
Well, John mentions Mary first.
Yeah, the village of Mary and her, yeah, sister Martha. And then verse 5, which I think we put on here, that Jesus loved, maybe not, Jesus loved Martha. So that's John 11, 5, that speaks to their relationship.
Denise?
Yes?
Just the contrast between Mary and Martha here, when they almost say similar words.
Yes.
But the
yes.
posture is different.
Yes.
You know, but I love that Martha can just say, she just says it right to him. And, you know, that is just so unusual to me for that time and place. And yet he speaks to each one differently. And he speaks to me differently. And it's just, I mean, individually. And then but Mary, she was, again, at his feet. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to move toward being at his feet, mm-hmm. and not so busy. But as mm-hmm. a teacher, elementary teacher, I was just always moving.
Sure,
always
sure.
In charge. But I just thought that contrast, again, similar words, but different yeah. posture.
Right. And then Martha, in verse 22, adds one other statement that Mary didn't say, which is, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So she understood that there was a relationship with Jesus and God, number one, there. But she knew more, right? That even though Lazarus was dead, she still held out hope.
Yeah.
And then the next three verses, Jesus says who he is and
yes.
He confirms it.
Yes.
I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. Even he who comes into the world, she knew it.
Yeah. She still didn't grasp the understanding of resurrection at that point. She looked forward to the resurrection in the last days. Oh, yes, I get that. But then, and it doesn't tell us what her reaction was when Lazarus went for it. But there had to be some light bulbs coming on at that point. Yeah. This knowing, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. This knowing, she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatever Jesus asked God will give him. That there was that certainty. She understood that relationship, something of the relationship between Jesus and God at that point. Because she doesn't know how the story is going to end after that conversation he's just had.
I'm so glad they didn't end the story with the first service.
Right. Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Well, like Patty said, I hadn't thought of that before, but that's true. With the Spirit now, we can worship and serve at the same time. That didn't
right, right.
They did have Jesus.
Yeah. But yeah, that's important to remember as we're looking at each woman, because most of the women we're looking at are not Holy Spirit indwelt women because of the time frame we find them in. So, yeah. And it's the other thing I found interesting is with Martha, Jesus channeled her grief by focusing her attention on him. So there was always this draw to focus on me, focus on me. In the first and the second, where second accounts that we see of her. Okay, well, so let's look at day four for a minute. So our memory verse for the week, cease striving and know that I am God. I am exalted in the nations. I am exalted in the earth. Excellent. So, what does the cease striving to know that I am God mean?
Put aside your worries. Put aside your responsibilities and focus.
Okay.
On him.
Well, striving means maybe you're trying, you're working. We're working hard toward it, but God says, be still and know I am God. Shut down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so don't focus on the do. Do your work. Do what you're supposed to do. Focus on God.
Yeah. Don't work in your own strength.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Deb, I didn't hear you.
Don't work in your own strength.
Yeah, don't work in your own strength.
Stop living and thinking as if everything depends on you.
Oh.
Oh.
That is good.
Yeah, quit thinking and acting as if everything depends on you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I think you're on 4A. Is that where you're at?
Uh-huh.
Okay. No matter what our situation might be, God is greater. And we can relax.
Yeah. So it's that perspective of when we know who God is, so as we grow in our understanding of who God is, there should be less of the striving, right? Yeah. So if we look at, write down Beck's statement on the board there. Beck, you may have to say it again for Bonnie.
I put, quit thinking and acting as if everything depends on you.
Oh.
And then you follow it up with what Denise said, is that when you know who God is, and you know everything depends on him, you just focus on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not about how, you know, one of those terms that's thrown around that's not biblical about... just like going like God.
Ah!
But it's like, what he's saying is to know God and trust him.
Yeah.
And then we won't be anxious and striving.
Yeah. Very true.
And you're worshiping his sovereignty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because it does speak to the who's in control. Right? I mean, Martha thought that she could control that whole thing. And yeah, so what would cease striving look like in the life of Martha?
It's hard to picture. John 12:2.
Yeah.
So they made him a supper there and Martha was serving.
Yeah.
That's all it says.
Yeah. Yeah. It is possible, Anne. For all of us, it is possible, right?
Maybe
it is possible.
That's my problem.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're so busy in our lives that when it gets so hectic, you go out of your mind because you're trying to get things perfect, you know. And that's when you have to stop. And I usually tell people to take some deep breaths. You have to stop and just, for, you know, a few seconds, you can just remember that God's with you, and you have to take those deep breaths.
And the 20 things on your list for the day might not be what God wants on that list for the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, even
right?
If you're doing 20, you get to 5, and you're still going crazy. So
yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. Stop. Take 10 breaths and just reflect on God.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So let's look at Hebrews 12 real quick. So therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, in Hebrews, what things are we to lay aside?
Everything that hinders us.
Okay, everything that hinders us. So, what are some things, what are some potential things that can hinder us?
Housework.
Housework? Well, potentially. Potentially. Well, I guess if you do that and you're overwhelmed with that and you're not having your time with the Lord, then that
well,
certainly
you
could be that.
You need to do an housework, if you let it overwhelm you, then you lose your time to
the Lord. But yeah, so the to-do list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You have to be careful with your to-do list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then it comes down to expectations that people have a chance.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, hobbies, things that might be fine for me that aren't an encumbrance for me might be for Joanne. So it's like those kinds of things, whether they be hobbies, whether they be expectations, whether they be any of those things that might hinder us. And then the second thing is laying aside sin, right? That we all know what that is. So, and then entangles is anything that discourages from living this life that we should live of being focused on Jesus. This focusing is a looking away from everything else and an ongoing looking unto Jesus. And why it's so important then that our focus be on Jesus and his word. So Martha loved Jesus and had God-given faith in him. she welcomed him and provided care for his disciples and those that were with him. She had the resources in the home to accommodate them. So serving in and of itself was not the problem. But we found that she was lost in her preparations in showing hospitality to them.
We need to look at the reason why we're doing something. Am I serving this meal because I want to give him this best meal? He's been traveling and he needs a good meal and I want to serve him. Am I serving this meal because I'm known as a person that serve the best and I don't want my reputation to look like I'm laying off? Or, you know, you see that at Christmas time. Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's keep our focus on Jesus.
Right, yeah.
Christmas, not the lights and the glitter of the fun. And why are we cooking? They're not bad, but why are we doing them?
Yeah. Great. So I hope as you go to your small groups this morning that you'll have more discussion about Martha and the principles that we looked at of focusing, knowing God and fixed our eyes on Jesus. It's precious to see this example of Martha who we can all relate to, right? We can all relate to. So let me just close in prayer and then maybe scoot off to our small groups. Father, we just praise you and thank you for just this time in your word. Thank you that we can share with each other what we're learning and how you are teaching us. And Lord, I just pray as we go to our small groups that we would discuss those things of how we can apply them to our lives. And Lord, give us the love and desire to be focused on you and to have you be the thing that we are focused on, that we are loving our devotion to you, Lord, that you would grow us in your likeness. Father, help us to see the plain things from Scripture. And Lord, as the Holy Spirit gives us that understanding, that you would give us the power to do what you call us to do in obedience. So we just praise you and thank you for this morning, our time together as sisters in Christ. And may our small group time just be a precious time together. In Jesus' name, amen.